Chapter 11. Quinn.
You know that if you go talk to him and his father finds out, you're putting everyone you know at risk, right? Including me? Lou asked. Lou was right, and that was the reason I never replied to any of Cage's texts. I wanted to. When they appeared on my phone, it would tear me apart. I wanted to be with him. I wanted to take care of him and relax in his arms. But I couldn't. Cage's father stuck a knife into my stomach in a hospital. He broke skin. It was still bleeding when I got home. I didn't doubt that he was capable of pushing a little harder and slicing me open. And even though I was willing to risk my life to be with Cage, I wasn't willing to risk Lou's life or my parents. He said his father was gone, I reminded Lou.
But what does that mean? Gone for the weekend? Gone for a vacation? Will he be back in a week or a month?
If you don't want me to talk to him, I won't. I'm not going to put you in danger. Tell me not to, and we'll leave through the back door right now. I tried not to look desperate to get his approval, but I couldn't help it. Everything in me pleaded for him to say it was okay. I needed to talk to Cage. The pain of being away from him kept me from eating and sleeping. Lou had suggested coming to the activity center because all I had the strength to do was lie in bed, and he was worried about me.
Lamb Chop, you can't not see him because of me. You know I can't do that to you. How about this? I could talk to him and find out if his father is really gone. If I get the sense that he could come back at any minute, or if he's coming back at all, I'll walk away. In that case, it wouldn't be because of you. It'll be because I can't trust him. And if I can't trust him, then what would be the point of being with him?
Lou smiled.
Well, there's a little more to being with someone than that, but I appreciate what you're saying.
He closed his eyes and sighed with resignation.
I trust you, Lamb Chop. Go talk to him. I know you wouldn't put me or anyone you cared about in danger. And for what it's worth, I don't think Cage would put you in that situation either.
You sure, Lou? Because I don't have to. Lou chuckled.
You have to. Don't pretend that you don't. Go! I'll just be here climbing this wall on my own.
Lou looked around and spotted a cute, dark-skinned guy putting on climbing shoes.
Unless I can get that scrumptious bit of man-meat to tie me up. Isn't the phrase, tie you in? You heard what I said. Go. I have some rope work to do.
I watched as Lou walked over to the guy and struck up a conversation with him. That was immediately followed by Lou stretching out in front of him. The guy was interested. It amazed me how easy it was for Lou to talk to guys. He didn't know if they would be into other guys or not. He just did what he wanted to, and somehow it always worked out. It was like he had some sort of device that could tell him which guys were open to being with guys. It was like a built-in radar or something. As smart as I was supposed to be, I could never tell what anyone else was thinking. That's what made parties so uncomfortable for me. If I could predict other people's behaviors, I could relax. But for me, people were a series of random events. They rarely did what they said they wanted to do, making it hard for me to tell when they were joking. Why couldn't they just say what they were thinking and do the things they say they want to do? That was one of the reasons I liked being around Cage. Yeah, he was the hottest guy ever, but more than that, he was easy. He did what he said he was going to do. Cage shared things about himself that told me who he was. He was exactly the man he presented himself as. He was the type of guy I could shut off my brain and relax with. I always felt safe when I was around him. So why would I question whether he would keep me safe now? Realizing that there wasn't a reason, I turned to the hallway to the front desk and headed back to Cage. As he came into view, our eyes met. He made me melt. The tingles were back. "You came," Cage said, telling me how much he wanted me here. "Before you say anything, I need to know for certain. Will your father be coming back?" Cage opened his mouth to speak and lowered his head instead. I don't know. I thought you said he was gone.
I did. And he is.
But he's my father. I don't want him to be.
Do you know where he went?
No. I don't know anywhere he goes when he leaves our house. I learned early that I shouldn't ask. I know there's a bar that he drinks at, but beyond that?
Cade shrugged his shoulders.
So how do I know that he won't show up one day, see us together, and then go Colonel Kurtz on me?
What?
Apocalypse Now?
Cade stared at me, confused.
Are you calling for the apocalypse?
I didn't laugh, but I wanted to.
No, it's a movie I watched with my parents. It wasn't age appropriate.
Okay. To answer your question, I don't know. But I think I know why he threatened you.
Why?
He thought that you would get in the way of me becoming a rich football player.
How would I get in the way of that?
I think he saw how much I liked you. I think he thought that NFL teams wouldn't want to draft me if I was with a guy.
Oh. Isn't that true?
I asked, remembering the way the sports world treated my uncle after they found out he was in a relationship with a guy. My uncle had been the MVP of multiple Super Bowls. He had turned that into a billion-dollar business. But after things with him and his family went public, my parents told me that everything changed.
It might be true, Cage admitted, but it doesn't matter anymore because...
He gestured toward his leg.
This.
I stared at the cast. I never got a chance to tell you how sorry I was that happened to you.
That's okay. I'm not that sad about it.
I mean, I'm sad you didn't get the chance to tell me, but I'm not sad I got hurt.
But I heard you were out for the season and you can't enter the draft. What about your dreams?
They were never my dreams. I was living someone else's dreams for me, and the injury allowed me to come up with my own.
Oh, what are your dreams?
Cage chuckled.
I'm still working on that. Right now I'm focused on figuring out how to survive without football.
And my dad?
And Tasha?
A sharp pain flashed in my chest hearing his girlfriend's name.
What happened to Tasha?
We broke up.
I felt another flash of pain, but this time it was as the wave of hope overwhelmed me.
I'm so sorry.
You shouldn't be. It was long overdue. I think she was in love with her best friend.
Really?
Yeah. It took me a while to figure it out, and she still hasn't accepted it, but she is.
Wow. Okay.
There is one thing about my dream that I have figured out, though, Cage said with a smile.
What's that?
You. Because when I dream of you.
I froze, staring at him. I was speechless, but my body reacted to his words, yearning for more.
I'm sorry, that was too much, he said, looking down.
No, that was the perfect amount. I knew I should have said more or told him how much he meant to me too, but I didn't. I don't know why.
Cage looked away. There's something I need to ask you.
What is it?
It involves my dad.
Oh, okay. Ask away.
I know you said you were joking, or whatever, after you said it, but is what you said true?
About him not being your biological father?
Yeah, he said, still not looking at me.
I think it is. There's always an outside chance that your genetics form themselves in exactly the right way, but most of the time, the simplest explanation is the correct one.
Cage looked at me with sadness.
Then, if he isn't my father, who is?
And what happened to my mother? Did she die when I was born? Or could she still be alive? I looked at Cage, not knowing how to respond. I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm asking you this stuff. We could find out. What? I told you, there are certain things that I'm good at. I could help you find out. Are you serious? Yeah. But I can't do anything that puts the people I care about in danger. You're talking about my father. Or whoever he was. Yeah. I'll protect you. I'll keep you safe. There's no way I would let him or anyone else do anything to you, he said, making my heart pound. I believe you. Where do we begin? At the scene of the crime. As much as I wanted to be around him, I needed time to process everything. So instead of talking any more about it across a desk at his place of work, we made arrangements for me to meet him at his place the following day. It would be a Saturday, and I could head up early. He ended the conversation by saying, "It's a date." Was it a date? Or was he using it colloquially? I wanted it to be a date. I wanted every moment I spent with him to be a step that brought us closer together. The location made for a strange first date, though, and figuring out who his father was and if his mother was still alive made for a strange first date activity. Most people went for ice cream. I brought ice cream, I told him when I arrived at his place the next day. You brought ice cream? And a few other things. Milk, juice, a couple of frozen pizzas, a couple of TV dinners, and ice cream. So you brought groceries. You said your father was gone. I didn't know who did the shopping, and I was already at the grocery store. Getting ice cream. Yeah. So I figured why not pick up a few things? You could always just stick them in your freezer if you don't want them. Cage chuckled. Thank you. You're gonna make it really hard for me to stop dreaming about you. Who says I want you to? I asked, feeling my cheeks flush. Good point, he said, looking at me like he wanted to kiss me. I didn't know what to do. I wanted to kiss him too, but how did a guy on crutches kiss a guy carrying two heavy grocery bags? Instead of kissing me like I was desperate for him to, he led me inside. I'll put these away, I told him, heading to the kitchen. You called it the scene of the crime, so I didn't clean up. I wanted to, but I didn't want to move something that Detective Quinn might need to crack the case, he said teasingly. No, that was good. Where do we begin? At the beginning. What do you know about your mother? Nothing. Do you have a picture of her or her name? I asked, joining him in the dated living room. No, nothing. What about a birth certificate? I do have one of those. Let me get it. When he met me at the door, he was using one crutch, but inside, he shed it and hobbled around instead. When he re-entered the room with a piece of paper in his hand, I asked him, "How's your leg?" "Better with you around," he said with a smile. "It doesn't hurt?" "Not as much. I think I'm good." I looked at him questioningly, but let it go. I took the paper from him and looked at it. "This is fake," I told him without thinking. "What?" "This isn't your birth certificate. Where did you get it?" "My father said that he got it from the hospital where I was born. Why do you think it's fake?" When you have two biological fathers, what goes on a birth certificate is an issue. Birth certificates become something you pay attention to. I've never seen any that look like yours.
What are you referring to?
Everything. Your mother's name is Jane Doe, and your father's name is Joe Rucker?
Yeah, they didn't know my mother's name, so they put Jane Doe.
They didn't know your mother's name, but they knew your father's? How would that work? Was he there for your birth, but he didn't know your mother's name?
I never asked.
You never asked? I asked skeptically.
My father wasn't a fan of questions.
I looked back at the certificate. It says here that your birth name is Boy?
Yeah, my father said he never bothered to name me,
Cage said, lowering his head. Cage, you have a name.
I made up Cage.
That's not what I meant. I mean, someone gave you a name. You have a name. So does your mother.
Well, of course she had a name. I just don't know what it was.
That's not what I mean. I mean that something tells me she's not dead. This certificate is fake.
If she's not dead, who is she? Where is she? How did I end up here?
Cage asked desperately. I thought about his questions and surveyed the messy room filled with worn furniture. What did your father do for a living?
I don't know. He wasn't a fan of questions.
You never asked what your father did every day?
I'm thinking we had different childhoods.
What my father did every day was drink. I guess it wasn't every day. He did teach me a lot about football, at least when I was younger. But when he wasn't MIA, he usually did what you saw him doing when you were here. I thought back to the cold, red-headed man I saw looking over his shoulder at me from the couch. The TV had been on, and there was something about him that told me he was drunk. I'm sorry you had to grow up like that, I said as my heart broke for Cage.
It's what I knew, he said casually. You know what? I can show you this, he said, leading me to the door opposite his bedroom. I didn't touch his room either.
I walked into the cluttered space where household valuables surrounded a queen-sized bed. More accurately, it was filled with things that looked like they could have been valuable, but aren't.
Your father broke into houses, I said as it hit me.
I looked back at Cage, who again lowered his head.
You knew? I asked, surprised. I suspected. It's why I didn't ask. As a kid, I found a stack of cash and a gun. Something told me he hadn't earned the money legally.
Where did you find it?
There's a metal box hidden in the floor under the bed.
I turned on the flashlight on my phone and crawled under the bed.
It's empty. I checked when I got back from the hospital. That's how I knew he wasn't coming back.
There was a lot of stuff under the bed with me. Mostly, it was more of what was surrounding it. But there was a path cleared to curling planks of wood. I removed them, getting a lung full of dust. Finding the metal box, I opened it. It wasn't empty. There was an ID card in it.
What's this?
Oh, right. The ID.
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't know. I just figured it was somewhere he worked when he was younger. I stared at the picture. He looked 20 years younger than he did when he was stabbing me with his hunter's knife. I crawled from under the bed and showed it to Cage.
He worked in a hospital?
So?
It's where people generally have babies.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that I think I know the hospital you were born in.